Now, the government's policy to make New Zealand's car fleet cleaner and greener has stalled. It was a key policy to cut the price of EVs by up to $8,000, but was halted by New Zealand First. Green Party co-leader James Shaw said that we can confirm NZ First are holding up the rollout of policy that would mean cheaper electric cars and hybrid cars for New Zealanders. National called it a car tax. There were two parts to it. A clean car discount or a fee bait that would subsidise the cost of cleaner vehicles by making polluting cars cost more. And also a clean car standard aimed at encouraging importers to import cars with better emissions standards. The scheme was self-funding. With us first is Greg Epps from the MTA. Greg, welcome to the panel.
Hi, Wallace, thanks.
What did you make of this fee bait scheme?
Look, we saw it as being a positive because the industry really did support the intention that was in the policy there of trying to reduce emissions from the fleet. As with any regulation, really the conversation between industry and government was around the details of how it would roll out and who'd be responsible for what.
Mm. Was it always going to be a bit of a tough sale, and it still might get through, who knows, Greg? But, I mean, you know, that it would be a bit of a bombshell to those in the, you know, the ute-loving provinces, as one journalist said.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to look at the broader effect of the scheme as to whether it would be working, because it you mentioned sort of 8,000 on electric vehicles. Well, that would be a new vehicle, and at the moment they're still up in the $50,000 range, really. So 8,000 might not bring it down into everyone's pocketbook. But also, are we talking EVs? Are we talking hybrids? There were a lot of different parts to what the scheme might have done for us, and really what we were trying to do was talk to the government about what was the best way to bring it in and who would benefit.
Yeah. So as a country, we really do have a love of SUVs, don't we? I understand. I know that Newsroom's Bernard Hickey did a very, very interesting sort of item on this a year or so ago. How are we going to modernise our fleet and make it greener, if you like?
Well, I mean, we've got to look at two things. What's coming in and getting rid of what's here. We've already got 3.9 million vehicles out there on the road. So certainly one key aspect that we need to do is try and see how we get some of the older vehicles off the road and encourage the newer vehicles in. As with SUVs, I mean, that comes down to what punters are wanting. They want the safety of a big vehicle. They want a vehicle that can carry all the equipment down to the beach if they've got, you know, all the sports gear for the team, you know, if they're doing a school run or something like that. So, I think the best way is really for, we've got to work with the industry to help encourage people into some of these cleaner choices, but also to understand, what do I need the car for? You know, what's my greatest use as opposed to what's my least use and buy for that?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, because I see here Bernard Hickey, November 2018, for every electric car we bought last year, we bought 64 mostly diesel double cab utes. One electric car, 64 double cab utes. So it's certainly utes and these sorts of cars aren't going to go away for a long time, Greg.
No, and I mean, the manufacturers are working on electric versions of all these sorts of vehicles because they know what their customers want. I mean, a lot of it comes down to the technology of being able to have battery packs that are small enough and light enough that they're not increasing the weight of the vehicle, but also powerful enough for the vehicle to perform the functions that people want them to do.
All right. Greg Epps from the MTA, thank you very much for being with us on the panel. Joe, what do you reckon? What, does it sound like a workable idea to you, subsidising EVs paid by slapping a tax on your Toyota Hiluxes?
Well, I mean, it's problematic in the sense that I think has been raised as potential problems with this suggestion. One is that whether or not the low-emission vehicles would be available, and one is that effectively in rural areas where they're less available and less able to do the jobs people need them to do, you'd effectively be subsidising these electronic vehicles. But at the same time, we clearly need to do something, and it seems regressive and really head in the sand of New Zealand First to proudly say they've shut down the idea. And I don't know. I mean, I think that this sort of carrot and stick, it's working overseas. I think they have something in Sweden which works, which is a different place and a different culture. Mm. But we clearly need to have a different relationship with cars and how we use cars. And
always going to be a hard sell, though, wasn't it? I mean, you had your Toyota Hilux, for example, that would attract a $2,750 import fee. Range Rover's the same thing. So your beloved car, your beloved brands, they're going up. Meanwhile, you do want to get into an EV. They still cost, in the 50s or the 60s, yeah, and you're getting an $8,000 rebate. I mean, what's the...
That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the point. The subsidy or neither the tax nor the subsidy is high enough. I must say I'm not a great fan of subsidies generally, and in this case, subsidising, you know, personal purchasing decisions seems to me not a good idea. However, there is a serious public policy question which you need to think about, and not all the political posturing that we're seeing going on around this issue, which in itself is quite dismaying, because for goodness sake, we need to find some political cross-party acceptance of these things. But the substantive political policy question is, how do we incentivize the adoption and adaptation of these new vehicles? Certainly, how can we get the old clunkers off the road, which would be one really good thing, and how can we make it more attractive to buy these new things? I heard the Prime Minister say that this morning that this hadn't been decided yet. They were still working on it. I think we should see the full range of options. I wouldn't necessarily exclude the idea of a subsidy. I just don't think it's going to be madly successful.
Well, Adam says, and this is the clincher, isn't it? I'm rural and I use my ute for work. I'd buy an EV if there was one available that would tow, had the range I need and carried loads. Don't tax me when there is no alternative. And I think that's one thing that New Zealand First...
And I think that's completely legitimate reasonable point. Yeah. You know, yeah. And I think New Zealand First, the belief is that is the position that they have heard from not just advocates, but also voters, saying the options aren't there. But at the same time, it's a discussion that I think we should have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another one, it's a simple fix. Axe the fringe benefit tax exemption on utes, retain it for vans. Most utes are being used as oversized family cars, not as commercial vehicles, but we taxpayers subsidize them. X the exemption for SUVs and utes now. And there is a bit of a thing to that too. City streets kind of clogged with these very large SUVs that perhaps not of us. That's a choice.
That is, I think, very true. It's interesting to see how often you'll see large vehicles doing things like school drop-off. And I'm not suggesting that's the wrong choice, but I don't know. I think you could use an EV for that without any actual loss of motoring capability.
I'd like to see the full range of policy options that are available, including the subsidies and the tax changes. And I would like politicians to stop making political points out of something as important as climate change.
All right. Either of you, before you move on, either of you either been tempted or swayed by an electric vehicle, ever wanted to own one?
Yeah. I would say that the car I have now is either the last car I have or my next car will be an electric vehicle.
Is that right? Okay, so you're seriously considering.
I live in Auckland and don't drive very much, so I think that puts me in a different position to a lot of other people.
We certainly looked at it when we bought our current vehicle. I just thought it was too expensive to buy something similar. And a bit worried about the utility of an electric vehicle, even in the city. But, I think that's something we certainly going to look at in the future. Bear in mind that people who have the luxury of being able to afford late model cars are already buying cars that have up-to-date technologies. I know everyone can't do that, and we've got this issue about on-farm vehicles. But whatever, 8,000, 5,000 in the context of a...
How many New Zealanders have the money to fork out for a 60, 70k car?
Well, judging by the numbers on the road, quite a few. I don't know how they all get there, but plenty can afford a... well, actually, not a lot can, but enough can, obviously, to afford a 40 or 50 if they're buying
a
new one.
Right.
Yeah, we need to have a variety of cars available, but maybe it's the upper reaches we need to be focusing.
Oh, well, if you are an owner or a user of an electric vehicle, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts and tell us what you think of the experiences. Yeah. And indeed, was it worth it? Because I have heard too that one way that people do buy them is they think of it as a mortgage, so they actually invest in. Take some savings, if they have them, invest it into a EV because, of course, you haven't got all that money on petrol.
That's right, and that needs to be brought. But that's a non-regulatory way of trying to affect it, and maybe there's more that can be done in that context.
Yeah.